eyes found towards the back of the Old Testament. If you don't know exactly where it's at, you can go to Matthew and just go back a few books. It's right after Zephaniah. So Haggai, it's not a normal passage of scripture that we speak a lot out of, but there is something the Lord's laid upon my heart, and something I enjoy thinking about and considering in most years. I personally consider this and go over this passage of scripture, and in the past, I know around the new year and years back, we've looked at this thought of consider your ways, and that's what we're going to be looking at this morning in the book of Haggai, consider your ways. There's some really strong, powerful verses, powerful phrases in the Bible, and I like, you know, when people talk about prepare to meet thy God, things like but God, for God so loved. A lot of great phrases in the Bible, and this is one of those phrases that sticks with me, and it's something that helps me and encourages me to have a serious reflection on how I'm doing in my Christian life and how I'm doing in my spiritual life. And Haggai here is talking to a group of people who have come back after Babylonian captivity, and they've been given the commission to rebuild the temple. They face problems, they face hardship, they face tough times, and because of that, they stop rebuilding the temple. Haggai is challenged or commissioned by the Lord to go and challenge the people once again to consider their ways. And as we look at this passage of scripture today, I want us to consider our ways as we look forward to a new year. I want us to take a serious time to reflect back on the things of this past year and saw how maybe the things that we did well in, or saw how we maybe fell down on a couple things, saw where God blessed and saw where God maybe did not bless in. And so when we consider the passages of scripture this morning, I want us to consider our ways when it comes to our spiritual lives. Let's jump into the passages of scripture. The prophet is challenging the people, consider your ways. And this morning's message would not have been an easy message for these people to hear. He's very blunt. He's very honest. He prophesies in the days of Darius, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire, right at 520 BC. Look what it says in verse number 1. In the second year of Darius, the king. So that's why we know it can be 520 BC. In the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying. So when Haggai, who was a very serious-minded prophet, he would always say the word of the Lord when he was getting ready to preach. And he said, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say, this time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. So because of different things, and if you go in, he's a contemporary of the same times as Zechariah and Malachi. We even learn about Haggai in the book of Ezra and Zechariah. And Ezra, we know that because of the Samaritans, they face tremendous pressure not to rebuild this temple. And because of the hardships and the rough times that they face, they chose to stop. And look what it says in verse number 2 once again. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts. So this is God that's speaking to them through Haggai. This people say, the time has not come that the Lord's house should be built. The people had come to this consideration because of hardships and because of hard times and because of outside influences. They came to this moment in time and says, look, this is not the right time for us to build God's house. This is not the right time that we should put a priority in building God's house. And let's keep on going. It says in verse number 3, then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, it is time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lieth waste. So what he's saying here is, hey, look, he's speaking to a group of people that have some really beautiful houses. He says, you dwell in your sealed houses, which meant a paneled house, which meant that it would have been something that was luxurious back in that time and day. He says, you feel comfortable living in these fancy houses, but God's house is lying waste. He says, there's something wrong with that. Let's keep on going. Verse number 4. It is time for you, O ye, to dwell in sealed houses, and this house lie waste. Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. And it's the message that the prophet is bringing to this group of people. He says, I want you to consider this. Consider the priority you put to yourself, but the lack of priority you put on God. Let's keep on going. Verse number 6, he talks to them about their results. He says, you have sown much, and brought in little. Ye eat, but you have not enough. Ye drink, but you have not have ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. He's speaking to them about the results of this past year. These past years, have they been ignoring God and ignoring God's plan for their lives and ignoring God's house and didn't have the right priority, and how God was not able to bless them and bless in their lives because of the fact that they had mixed up priorities. He reminds them again in verse number 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. So I want you to consider this. I want you to think about these results, why these things are happening. Verse number 8, he gives a commission. He gives God's will, God's plan. It says, go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house. It's very simple. He says, go do what you know you're supposed to do. And I will take pleasure in it. And I will be glorified, saith the Lord. And he said in verse number 9, once again, it's a result. You looked for much. Saying they were expecting for God to bless, they were expecting for God to give them much. They left that captivity, they left places of comfort and places of ease to go back to build this house, and they thought, surely God will bless this. He says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house, that is waste. And you run every man unto his own house. Then you see the power of God and the power that God has to bless, and also the power that God has to hold back blessings. Look what it says in verse number 11. Actually, we'll go to verse number 9. Therefore, the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I have called for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, and upon all the labor of the hands. Then it says, verse number 12, they respond to this. Then Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, with all the remnant of the people, obeyed the voice of the Lord their God, and the words of Haggai the prophet, as the Lord their God had sent him, and the people did fear before the Lord. Verse number 13, then spake Haggai, the Lord's messenger, and the Lord's message unto the people, saying, I am with you, saith the Lord. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's help and blessing on the service today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. Lord, as the day as we looking forward to what's going to be in store for us in 2019. I pray we give deep consideration today to living a life that God will be able to bless. Lord, I pray that we give deep consideration of our own ways in this past year and the things that you were able to help us with and the things that you were able to bless and the things that you were able to do. And Lord, I also pray that we give deep consideration on those things that we've fallen short in and where maybe our priorities have been mixed up a little bit, and that how God, you want to bless and how you want us to have a certain goal, and you have a will for us, that you like to show yourself mighty in our lives. Help us to have and understand, as you said, that you are there with them in that presence in that last verse we read. Help us to seek that and understand that and believe that. Help us to consider our ways today. In Jesus' name, amen. So this message wouldn't have been very easy to hear. This message would have been, I think, in my mind, kind of difficult. If Haggai comes and he says to them, he says, look, you're at home, you're living in these luxurious houses, but you're not willing to come do anything for God's house. That would be kind of, guys, it would stick me in the heart and say, man, that's tough to consider. And that's what Haggai here, he says to him, I want you to consider your ways. I don't want you to just take my word for it. Go home and see your house, and go home and see how you laid the foundation for the temple and you did not finish building it, and how you've run to your own homes and you've done all this to make yourself to be comfortable and do all these things. But over here, God and God's house and God's priority, it just wasn't a priority. And so when I come to this thought and I come to this passage of scripture, it reminds me that I should consider my priorities. And that's the first point is consider your priorities. Look what it says in verses 2 through 5 again. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Once again, it was not an easy time. The people that were there, and you get even a greater picture in Nehemiah when they had come back to rebuild the wall, you saw all the opposition. We went through the book of Nehemiah together as a church. There was much opposition. There was much people that were just trying to physically harm them and people that were willing to mentally abuse them to just try to get them not to build that wall. But you saw God bless you, you saw God build that wall. And here he's saying to them, it's not an easy time, but it is time to come and build God's house. And it says, this people say the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. God had sent them back. God had given them a plan. God had given them a purpose. They believed in that. They had laid a foundation, but they came to the spot. They decided on their own, okay, this must not be God's will. And what we need to be careful with is when we start deciding what we think is God's will and what we think is God's plan and what we think God wants us to do versus what is not God's will and what is not God's timing and what is not God's plan. There's many people who will begin serving because they know God has spoken to their heart. There's many people who will begin doing the work of the Lord, doing what they know they're supposed to do. They would even begin, say, a new year, like we're looking at in just a few days, and say, I know I need to read my Bible more, and I know I need to pray more. I know I need to be a witness. I know I need to be faithful. I know I need to be a better husband, father, wife, mother, child, whatever the scenario is. I know I have a plan, and I'm going to start doing this because I know what the will of the Lord is for my life. And then as we begin to proceed down, the devil doesn't like it. The devil begins to send temptations. The devil begins to send hardships. The devil begins to send hard things. And we come to the spot and say, oh, maybe that wasn't God's will. Be careful that we begin to consider what God's will is for us, because that's what they did. They said, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. He says, this is not the time, this is not the place, let someone else do it. You can imagine how this would be a tough passage, a tough message to hear, but we looked at the response and they have a couple of choices to respond. Number one, they could have ignored it. Number two, they could have put the prophet to death. Well, nowadays, you don't really do that to the preacher. You don't kill him just because you don't like what he said. But back then, in Bible times, they ran many a prophet out of town, or they even saw many prophets that were slain just because they didn't like the message. They didn't like what God's word had to say. And that's what I want you to do today. I don't want you to take my word for it. Look what Haggai says at the end of verse number 7. Consider your ways. Let God and his word look at your life and take a deep look inside and consider your ways and consider your priorities. What is your priorities? You say, Pastor, we got a big, beautiful church. This church is much nicer than my house. What are you talking about? No. I'm not. I'm trying to help you understand something in your own life. What is your priorities? And yes, back then in the Bible times, it was the fact that they were supposed to build the temple. That was God's will. That was God's purpose for their life. I'm not saying that we need to do more things around the church to make the church look nicer and better, even though I think we should take good care of what God has given us. But I'm saying that what is the priorities of our lives? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, he says, therefore, take no thought, saying what we shall eat or what we shall drink or wherewithal shall we be clothed. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He says, look, don't be thinking about those physical things. He says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But then he comes and says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. What the scripture is saying there is, hey, put God first in your life. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. There's nothing wrong with having a nice home or nice possessions, but that should never take the priority over God in your life. And then the seeking of the God's work and God's plan and God's timing. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And even there's a step farther when the Lord said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. He puts a priority up there and he says, this is supposed to be your priority. Love me with all your heart, all your strength, all your soul. This is the priority that is supposed to be in your heart and supposed to be in your life. So Haggai is coming with a hard message. He's saying, look, you've made yourself and you've done really well for yourself and you've made yourself a priority. Now I want you to consider your ways, how you made yourself a priority, but you have not made God a priority in your life. He says, I want you to consider where you live at and look at all that you have, but look what has been done for God and for the work of God. Consider your priorities. Second thing, not only does he tell him, consider your priorities, as he did that at the end of verse number 5, after he gave that idea of them living in the big houses and God's house lying waste, he also gave this thought about the results. Look again what it says in verse number 6. Verse number 6, you have sown much and bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you are not filled with drink. So clothe you, but there is none warm. And that he that earneth wages to put him into a bag with holes. You think about the verse that is written here and the thoughts that are written here. The understanding that is put here is, hey, look at all these different things that are happening to you. God's not blessing you. God's not blessing your life and the things that you thought he would. You've done so much. You worked so hard. You've done all these things, but you've never been satisfied. You've never been happy. You've never been fulfilled in your work and in your life. Verse number 9, he speaks of the results again. You looked for much, and lo, it came to little. You thought there was going to be something that God was going to bless. He says, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. He's saying, consider this. Consider what you thought was going to be a blessing. Consider how you thought you're going to have so much more. Consider when you left that Babylonian captivity, you had the freedom to be able to come back, all the dreams you had, all the expectations you had, that God himself was going to bless because of the fact that I'm going to do God's work. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. And then the result ended up being not what you thought it was going to be. And I'm trying to help you understand, they had a mixed up priority, and because their priorities were mixed up, the results didn't turn out the way they should. Now, let me clarify this. Living for the Lord is not easy. Living for the Lord is something we should desire to do. They were going to build that temple, and they face opposition. Opposition will come, even when you're doing what is right. But at the same time, when you have the right priorities, what you have then is the opportunity for God to work on your behalf. You have the opportunity for God to take that little that you've sown and make it much, that little that you eat and be satisfied, that little to drink. I know so many people who have been happy and satisfied with just a little because they're doing it with God and God's plan and God's purpose, more than someone who has so much and is never satisfied and never happy, never getting everything they expected, never giving everything that they thought they should or that they thought they would. Their results were mixed up. Their results were bad because their priorities were bad and their priorities were mixed up. Think about what it says in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 through 9. Be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit of the Spirit shall reap life everlasting. Then he says, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So the second thing is, consider your results. As we take some time to just consider, okay, what's my priorities this year? How did last year turn out? Did things turn out the way I thought they would? Did God bless in certain areas? Did it become to the point that it seemed like I was just throwing money? It's kind of, you know, putting money in a pocket that has holes in it. You know, it just kind of goes away. And that's what he's talking about here. That's what happened to them. And at the end, it says, they earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. I can tell you my own personal testimony that me and my wife left the jobs that we got made a lot more money than we ever did when we came here to Elizabeth City. You know, God used us and God blessed us and God made things work so much better and so much easier when we went into the Lord's work and did things God's way. Does it mean things have always been easy? No. But at the same time, I've learned that if we have the right priorities, God will bless us in the way that he is considering us and the needs he has. Not only do you consider the priorities and consider your results, consider God's plan. Look what it says in verse number 8. This is God's plan. He says, go up to the mountains and bring wood and build the house. There's an answer to this. He says, stop not considering God. Simply put, he says, I want you to just go do what I've asked you to do. And then look what it says after that. It says, build the house, right? And then he says, I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. He says, I simply just want you to do what you know you're supposed to do. And upon doing what you're supposed to do, he says, then I'll take pleasure in it. He says, then I'll get glory in that. So when we consider our ways, are we doing the things that we know that we're supposed to do? They knew they were supposed to build that temple. They knew it was simply just going up to the hill, taking the wood and bringing it back down and building it up. You say, Pastor, there was people there that was causing problems. There was people there trying to stop them. Are they more important than God? That's what he's saying. This is the plan I have for you. This is the purpose I have for you. This is what I want you to do. And I want you to get this and understand that not only consider your priorities, not only consider the results you have, consider God's plan, but God's promises. He's going to take pleasure in your life. He says, I can be glorified in your life. Isn't that what we desire? And our theme verse for the year talked about without faith it's impossible to please him. We can please God with our life. We can live a life that he takes pleasure in. We can live a life in which he gets glory and honor out of. The Bible says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. He says, I can show myself strong and a person who has the right heart and a person that has the right priority. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. He says, I want you to consider your ways. He says, they're not my ways. My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And he's saying that for the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's saying, consider your ways. Are they the ways of God? Are they the thoughts of God? God has a plan for your life, and he has a desire for your life, and he will take pleasure in that. He will not only take pleasure in it, he'll get glory out of it. And if you look what it says in verse number 13, he says, I am with you. As the people began to do the work of God, he says that, tell the people, the message unto the people saying, I am with you. You can accomplish this because God is with you. No matter what your opposition is, accomplish what God's will is because he is with you. So let's consider our ways. Consider our life to the scriptures. Consider what God desires for us and desires for our heart and desire for our lives. As we're sitting down and considering maybe 2019 resolutions, let's consider where we're at spiritually. Consider how we're doing. You think about it, the first thing I'd like for us to consider, and the first thing that I consider is, am I closer to God today than I was last year? You think, of course you are. You had a whole year to read your Bible. You had a whole year to pray. You had a whole year of hearing sermons, and for me, preparing sermons. Am I closer to God today than I was last year? Because the case is, not many of us are. I'm sorry. Some of us are not. Some of us has fallen away a little bit. Some of us had stopped reading our Bibles like we used to. Some of us don't pray like we used to. Some of us don't witness like we used to. We think because we're doing a portion of God's work and God's will that God is going to bless it, just like they thought. I think it's really interesting when he says, when you looked for much. They were expecting God's blessing. You looked for much. And guess what happened? Nothing happened. And sometimes in our Christian lives, we're looking for a lot. We're thinking, God's going to take this, and God's going to use this, and God's going to bless this, and God's going to just make it explode. And there are times when God chooses to do that. But we must check our priorities. And I'm not condemning anyone. I'm not saying anyone's doing anything wrong. I'm just telling you, just as Haggai did, consider your ways. Think about what's going on in your life. Consider those priorities you have. Consider the results you had in 2019. Consider what God's plan is for you and God's promises. Has he taken pleasure in what you're doing? Or is he still seeking for that man among them that can make up the hedge? Or is he still seeking for that person to stand in the gap, as it talks about in Ezekiel, but he couldn't find any? The question is, are we closer to God today than we were last year? Am I closer to God today than I was at any point in my life? Consider what according to the Bible. Don't consider according what other people say. Because if you would have listened to some of these other people, they would have said, yeah, it's okay. Go take care of your house. We'll take care of God's house later. Yeah, it's okay to take this portion of your life and focus on yourself. Later on, you can go focus on God. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. The Bible says in James 1:25, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." It's saying that as we consider our ways, we don't listen to man's theology. We don't listen to man's philosophy. Instead, we look at the Bible and consider what God's plan for us, and we find the things that God will bless. We find the things that God will get glory in, and that's how we consider our ways. Have we been like that in this past year? Is my Bible reading something that God would get pleasure in and take pleasure in and get glory out of? Are my attitudes something that God will take pleasure in and get glory out of? Is my prayer life something that God will get glory out of and take pleasure in? Is my faithfulness something that God will get pleasure out of and get glory out of? Are my finances and my relationships and my witnessing and my testimony, my actions, as I consider my ways, are they things that I put God as a priority in my life? Or are they things that I have done the things the way I wanted to do it? Church, as Haggai stood that day and said, "Consider your ways," let's consider our ways. Let's consider what type of priority I have and what type of priority you have. In their day, the accusation was, you lived in these big, beautiful houses, but you've forgotten about God's house. And God obviously was not happy with this. God specifically says, "You have left my house a waste." And they listened to the message. They heard the message. They were reminded that this past year did not turn out. And the last couple years did not turn out the way they had expected. They did not see or hear or feel the blessing of God upon them. And because of that, they realized that their priorities were out of whack. And because of that, it says that they got up and they went and they got the wood and they built the house of God. They did what they were supposed to do. Did the opposition go running away? It did not. You go to Ezra, you'll read that there was still trials. There were still tribulations. There was still hardship. But they were reminded in verse number 13, "I am with you, saith the Lord." And as we go to consider our ways, let's not just go considering our ways with the thought, "What can I do?" But like we learned on Wednesday night, let's remember that it's God that's going with us in 2019. Let's remember that it's not only God, but the God that can do all things that is going with us. And not only the God that can do all things, but the God that can do all things works in submissive hearts and spirits. So during our invitation time, I know it would be a good place to start, but it's definitely not going to be a place where you can finish this. Get some time alone with God. Get some time alone with your Bible. Get some time alone with God and your Bible and consider your ways. Consider those main areas of your life, the scriptures, reading your Bible and praying, that personal walk with God. Ask yourself this question: am I closer to God than I was at the beginning of 2018? Do I love the Lord my God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, and all my strength? And if I don't, what is those ways in my life that I need to change? What are those things that I need to rearrange to make it work? Because that's what many people do at the beginning of a new year. They look back at last year and they see the things they need to change, and they make the changes that are necessary to move forward in 2019. And I would guess that not only in my own life, but in many of our lives, if not all of our lives, there are some things that we could do better in. There's some things that we need to rearrange some priorities and say, God needs to be a priority in my life, and I'm going to consider my way, and as I consider my way, I'm going to make the changes that are necessary because I want God to get glory in my life. Verse number 8, "Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I will take pleasure in it." God can take pleasure even in our work. Even when we haven't done it right in the past, God can take pleasure in what we're doing. Why is that? Because it says, "I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified with the Lord." The Bible says that whatever we do, whatsoever you eat or drink, do all to the glory of God. God can get glory from your life when you have the right priorities. So as we consider 2019, make sure you have the right priority. I know we have a few people that are visiting with us this morning. I think that's wonderful and great. I also know that there's many times a person can sit in church and listen to the message over and over and over and never respond to. I want to remind you that look at how they responded to Haggai. They went and they did God's will. And God says, I'm with you because you're doing those things. Respond to the message the way God would want you to respond. Don't say, well, that's that pastor's problem. That's pastor, you know, this or that. Don't. I'm sure Haggai was not accepted by everybody. And that's okay. But secondly, we talk about loving the Lord our God with all our heart and all our mind. Also, the only way that we're capable of doing that is by knowing Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. And I know this morning's message was intended to believers to consider their ways, but also consider your path. Where will you end up in eternity? Yesterday, I had the privilege of preaching a funeral for a man that died at 59. His life was cut short. They thought he was going to live a lot longer. His wife talked about the plans that they had, and that today he's in heaven based off of what his testimony is, based off the word of God. And I told the congregation yesterday, hey, look, there's a future to envision someday to be at home in heaven with Jesus and with Mr. Mike as well, as I was talking to his family. But are you on your way to heaven? Consider your ways. Is that, are you there? Because the Bible says that if we put our faith and trust in him, if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth, if we call upon him, we can be saved and we can be on our way to heaven. And this morning, if you're here today and do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you're not sure how in the world that you could get to heaven when you die, please come forward during invitation time. We'd love to have somebody take a Bible and show you how the Bible says that you can know that you have eternal life. As the people were singing earlier about being born again and understanding what it means to be saved, because there is a future to envision, and that future is in heaven someday. Consider your ways. Which way are you headed? Because the Bible says either you're headed to heaven or you're headed to a horrible place called hell. But you can make that decision even here and today and now. So don't forget today. I hope all of us will take to heart, consider your ways. Consider the things that you're doing, considering the things that what God's plan is for you, and then see if there's something that you need to change. Haggai just was simply told him, look, this is where your priorities are mixed up. This is the result of it. This is what God wants you to do. Now consider your ways. Is this truth? Get in your Bible and say, this is what God wants me to do. This is where my priorities are either mixed up or straight. And then do what God desires for you to do with your life. It's plain, it's simple, and found in the Bible what he desires for us, and what the things he will bless, and what things he'll get glory out of. Let's make 2019 a year that we seek God's glory through our own lives and seek God's blessing by doing the things he has planned for us. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet. Ted's